There's a few things I want to say before I begin in earnest, and that is this year our focus is on growth. We're going to try to grow the church through the Sunday school and through the choir. And if we get around to hiring a membership director, all the better. But we're going to try to make a big push this year to grow the church. And I'm repeating these sermons because I think they lay out what church is about. And I'll stop and comment after my year's experience in particular places. And these two sermons are really the result of a workshop I went to by Robert Latham. I was in my second year of ministry, and I walked out of there understanding church, and I walked in not. Okay. So what is the purpose of religion? To speak and model a message which offers the power of wholeness in human relating and the inspiration of hope in human destiny. This purpose is a unique and grand privilege, for it is the opportunity of providing for society its moral heart. How do we gain the ear of society? First, our message must ring with clarity, and we struggle with that, to be honest. Our message must ring with clarity. People will buy into a falsehood which is clear before they will buy a truth which is unclear. And examples of that are all around us every day. However, there is a confusion in our ranks about our purpose and message. Perhaps you've seen this cartoon. The bulky Viking boat or ship is zigzagging in aimless circles despite great expenditure of energy by the individual rowers. It's obvious they're all preoccupied with personal concerns and goals. When we belong to a church, we belong to something bigger than ourselves. It's about ourselves and community. But the rowers are all preoccupied with personal concerns and goals. Some are paddling one way, some another. Some are paddling with the blade of the oar, some with its handle. They've turned different waves and bumped into each other. Confusion reigns. And Hagar the horrible, seated at the helm, is shouting over the heads of the rowers, "Will you quit saying different strokes for different folks?" We laughed this time. That was good. If we as a religious community truly want to provide for society its moral heart, then we must refocus our energies from celebrating our differences to defining our commonly held beliefs, to developing a clear sense of purpose and a clear message. Without those two things, we're whistling in the wind. Without a clear sense of purpose and a clear message, as far as growing the church. Our Unitarian heritage is a good example of this focus on commonly held beliefs. As a result of Michael Civitas's book, The Errors of the Trinity, a theological controversy arose in the 1500s centered around the true nature of God. The answer, which gave birth to us, Unitarianism, was that God was one, not a Trinity. It was this commonly held belief which bonded the Unitarian community into existence. In the first half of the 1800s, with Ralph Waldo Emerson's sermon, The Divinity School Address, the Unitarians began to shift the source of religious authority from the Bible to creation, and eventually to all sources of human wisdom. In the 1930s, the Unitarians engaged again the cosmological question, who or what is in charge? For a variety of reasons, humans were elevated to the catbird seat. By the late 1950s, our commonly held belief was humanism. Humanism prevailed until the recent years as the dominant theology in our churches. At this moment, a new undefined theology is developing in our midst. This theology is again an engagement with the cosmological issue of who or what is in charge. It involves a reversal of our whole Western view of reality, as implied in the notion of an interdependent web of existence. This sketchy overview suggests two things. First, our heritage is one of commonly held beliefs. Second, that these beliefs that we have commonly held have never been a consensus. Never. There has always been a group that wished to anchor our beliefs in the past. There has always been a group that wished to take us farther into the future. Defining our commonly held beliefs, then, does not deny our differences or negate our right to disagree. It doesn't. I believe our principles are where we go to find our clarity. Our principles are what we hold in common. Well, I surely beat that one into the ground. Let's backtrack and regain our bearings. So how do we provide society a moral heart? How do we gain the ear of society? First, our message must ring with clarity. Second, our message must offer a way for achieving wholeness and human relating. Wholeness and human relating. That we're brothers and sisters. We're not isolated beings who are trying to get over everybody. But the wholeness in human relating, and for inspiring hope about the destiny of both the individual and the human family. Now, this is as generically as I know how to put it. Wholeness has to do with how we integrate our relationships with self, other human beings, and with the whole universe. These three dimensions of relating incorporate the total range of human experience. And whatever message of relating dominates society, that message becomes its moral heart. And I'll have to throw in that that's one of our problems now. We have no moral heart in our society at all. I'm a preacher, though, so take it for what it's worth. How do we arrive at our message? From engaging life's most compelling questions, those questions which dog every step of our existence, those questions whose answers determine the meaning we make and the stories we create. These are the traditional questions of religion and philosophy. And I'll list them as five. Who am I? Which is a question about the nature of my being. How do I know what I know? Which is a question about the source of my authority. Who or what is in charge? Which is a question about universal government. What is my purpose? Which is a question about self-worth. And what does my death mean? Which is a question about the nature of time. The answers to these questions, which define how we can relate to self, others, and the universe, in order to be whole, combined to create the religious institution's message to the world. To be sure, every major religion has its own particular message to offer, consistent with its cultural environment, place, and time. But the purpose of every religion is the same, to offer a way of relating which heals our disjointed, fractured, and severed relationships. On an individual level and on a community level, both and, they're connected. So how do we provide society a moral heart? Social power is the ability to influence behavior. Behavior is a reflection of the heart's belief. Behavior changes because the heart is persuaded to believe differently. All social change begins as heart change. So if social change is the goal, heart change is the strategy. No one understood this better than Martin Luther King Jr. On the 20th anniversary of his I Have a Dream speech, an editor of the New Yorker magazine reflected, and I quote, "Far more than he wanted the freedom to eat at lunch counters, far more than he wanted Black elected officials, King wanted the change of heart of individual Americans, which would make these political changes possible." If we apply Dr. King's insights and strategies, then we must concentrate not only on that which is broken in society, but on the heart of the breakers. To be effective, however, we must not only speak our message, but we must model it. This is the third key, to model our message in community. For the message without the model is an empty promise. When people hear our message proclaimed, before they are willing to commit their life, they wish to know if it works. And the only demonstration of this is the proclaiming community living out its message by example. If we Unitarian Universalists want to be the moral heart of society, to help heal a broken world, to help make it whole, then we must do three things. Proclaim a clear message. Offer the power of wholeness and the inspiration of hope. And model our message in community for all the world to see. This last key to model our message in community, of course, is much, much easier said than done. And so next Sunday, August 14th, we will explore these difficulties in more depth as we look at our church as a different place to be. And the point being, as a different place to be, if the church is like society outside its doors, what's the point? And why would people come? They can get abused at work. They don't expect to get it here. So, to conclude today's sermon, it is as true today as when the Hebrew prophet proclaimed it. No one follows the sound of the uncertain trumpet. If we can sound that confident trumpet, we have the opportunity of providing for society its moral heart. The only thing that stands in our way is ourselves. I leave you with A. Powell Davies. What can we do to stretch our hearts enough to lose their littleness? Amen and blessed be. Our benediction is from Mark Bellatini, a friend of mine. I've always liked this. He's an excellent writer, and you can go on UUA.org. He's got books everywhere. Go in peace. Live simply, gently, at home in yourselves. Act justly. Speak justly. Remember the depth of your own compassion. Forget not your power in the days of your powerlessness. That's a hard one. Don't forget your power when you feel the least power. Do not desire to be wealthier than your peers and stint not your hand of charity. Practice forbearance, speak the truth or speak not. Take care of yourselves as bodies, for you are a good gift. Crave peace for all people in the world, beginning with yourselves, and go as you go with the dream of that peace alive in your heart.